We're here to wait on you, Lord. We're here to wait on you, Lord. Lift you high, we're here to lift you high, higher than our thoughts, higher than our ways. We're here to lift you high, we're here to lift you high, higher than our thoughts, higher than our ways. We're here to lift you high, we're here to lift you high. Higher than our thoughts, higher than our ways. We're here to lift you high, we're here to lift you high. Higher than our thoughts, higher than our ways. We are here to lift you high, we're here to lift you high. 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 Oh, higher than our thoughts, higher than our ways. We're here to lift you are so good. We pray that the glory of your nature would be revealed, not only in our hearts and in this place, but in all throughout Wayne County, all throughout upstate New York. Let the glory of your nature be revealed. Of your face. Your kingdom come and your will be done on earth. Your kingdom come and your will be done on earth. Your kingdom come and your will be done. We ask your kingdom come and your will be done. On earth, your kingdom come and your will be done. On earth. Let's intercede one more time. Your kingdom come and your will be done. Your kingdom come and your will be done. On earth, your kingdom come and your will be done. On the earth. Father is inviting us to lay down assumptions, to lay down definitions of what this time is even supposed to be like, what our connections and our relationships are supposed to look like. He is inviting us into a new place. It's not as scary as it sounds because of his faithfulness. Part of what we are going to be doing this morning, a major part of what we are going to be doing this morning, is waiting on the Lord. Because when he calls us to lay down assumptions and past ways of thinking, it's not as simple as having a merely mental exercise of, here, lay that down and pick this up. No, he's drawing us to his heart so that he can reveal to our hearts the new thing that he is calling us into. So be patient with the process. Sometimes our waiting on the Lord will look like making declarations or singing our praise to him. Other times that waiting on the Lord will look like quiet. But other times that waiting on the Lord will look like letting the sound, letting the deep in him call out to the deep in you. and letting that reverberation come from deep inside of you, and let just the sound of your response come out to him. The Spirit groans with utterances that are too deep for English sometimes. So don't limit the Spirit in you to English. But when there is a sound that needs to come out of you, just let it come out. Is anyone willing and ready to lay down some old definitions and wait on the Lord? Yeah. Your kingdom, Father, your will. Not our ways, not our will, but yours be done. We invite you to come define, redefine who we are. What we do, the sound we make, the songs we sing, the words we say. And we remember the promise that those who wait on you will renew their strength. Jesus says, come to me, you who are weary and heavy laden. One of the reasons you're weary and heavy laden is because you are laden under assumptions that belong to the past season and not to the new season. So come to me, you who are weary and heavy laden, and learn from me. I am meek. I am lowly in heart. I am not going to scold or put a scourge on you. No, I am meek. If you come to me, I will remove that burden off of your shoulder as you learn from me. Your name on high. Lord, I love to sing your praises. I'm so glad you're in my life. I'm so glad you came to save us. You came from heaven to earth to show the way from the earth to the cross, my debt to pay. From the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky, Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I love to sing your praises. I'm so glad you're in my life. I'm so glad you came to save us. You came from heaven to earth to show the way, from the earth to the cross, my debt to pay. From the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky, Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I lift your name on high. came from heaven to earth to show the way from the earth to the cross, my debt to pay. From the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky, Lord, I lift your name on high. 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 Lord, we lift your name on high. Higher than our thoughts, higher than our ways, we lift you high. Thoughts higher than our ways, we lift you high. We lift you up, we lift you up. Higher than our thoughts, higher than our ways. Oh, we lift you up, we lift you up. Higher than our thoughts, higher than our ways. We lift you up. Lift you up, higher than our thoughts, higher than our ways. We lift you up, 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 we lift you up. We came from heaven to earth to show. Sing a new song, sing a new song, a song of praise, a song of praise. Oh, sing a new song, oh, sing a new song, a song of praise, as we wait now. Oh, sing a new song, oh, sing a new song, as we wait in our praise. Oh, sing a new song, oh, sing a new song. Sing a new song, sing a new song, as we wait, we will praise. We sing a new song, we sing a new song, as we wait, we will praise. We sing a new song, we sing a new song, as we wait, we will praise. We sing a new song, we sing a new song, as we wait, we will pray, we will pray, we will pray. As we praise, our old things fall away, fall away. As we praise, old things may fall away, oh,
I saw George and Betsy here and the congregation around them and lifting them up, and they're standing in for us and for them, to both for ongoing, what's here, what God is doing, and the burden of being senior pastor and things that come against him that you know and you don't know, and the hardness of that. And then I saw them standing in for the Trumps and we offering up prayers and to be thankful that God has raised up someone for now forward. And it's defeating the enemy. So there's a lot, you know, with the move that's going on now, what God is about to do and is doing, it's all there. He's doing it in congregations like this across the country and wanting our full hearts, who we are in Christ, to rise up.
So I'm going to have Mom and Dad go and just stand there, and I just wondered if we could gather around them and release the grace of God to them and to bless them and to raise their hands. So go ahead and come forward. And if the, I think we'll do this in a two-step process. One, them as them, and then secondly, them as the Trumps in the sense of our governmental leadership in this country. But let's start with just lifting up their hands. Let's go ahead and lift up your hands here. Father, first of all, we come with just great gratitude. You are so good to us. And you're good to us to have given us these as parents, as apostles, as those that would teach and impart, that those that would draw us forward into the realities of you. And we are grateful to you for them. And now, Lord, in our gratitude, we want to be a support to them. And so we declare into their bodies, into their souls, and into their spirits, the grace of God to continue forward, the strength to move forward, the wisdom, the vision, the clarity, the anointing to move forward. We speak health into their very bodies. We declare healing into these two bodies. We declare just a refreshment in their souls in the name of Jesus. And we just release your blessing over them as they lead. And we are grateful to you for them.
Thank you, Lord, for their lives and all they poured out over all these years, Lord. We give thanks to you today for their lives, for the known and the unknown, the things behind the scenes and the things before our eyes. Lord, that you have chosen, called them, and placed them for such a time as this. They will prevail in the heart's desires that you've placed in them, Father. They will prevail because of you that resides in them. And I'm going to flip right over to the Trump part because there's a duet right here. One of the things that I pray for these two, but also for Donald every day, pretty much, is no weapons formed against them will prosper.
Amen. Amen.
And the intended evil against them, they imagined a mischievous device, and device could be anything, but it will not be performed against them or against Donald Trump or his family or his administration.
Amen.
We are birthing something. We are all birthers when we pray. We release the prayers today across this nation to birth God's government into being right now. Father, we thank you. Your government is rising on the hill right now. We look into the hills, and whence cometh our help. Our help cometh from the Lord who made heaven and earth. So just remember that we are linking arms and we are raising the shields above us. And if you've ever seen one of those movies where the shields are linked above our heads, there's no breaches in our armor, because we are praying together across this nation to see God arise and his enemies be scattered. So be it. Amen.
In Jesus' name. And we decree a release of blessing, the blessing of posterity over the government that you have created and given to us. We decree a release of continuance of government, and a government that goes forward, a righteous government. Lord, we thank you that you use imperfect vessels to accomplish your perfect will. And we declare it will go forward. We decree it to do so. Go forward, righteous government, in this land, we say, in the name of Jesus. And the vessels of honor that have been chosen to host that, we speak over them blessing in their bodies. We speak blessing in their souls. We speak blessings in their spirits. May they know the fullness of the wholeness, the health, the well-being, and the spiritual life of the eternal God, in Jesus' name. Lord, we also pray a release of a groundswell of actual support. And support that's visible, both. A groundswell of invisible support and a groundswell of visible support, Lord, in all branches of the government, of the federal government, and reflecting down into the state as well, in Jesus' name.
We call that seed of prayer to arise across this nation, even as George put out this thing today about the Supreme Court, to be praying. God, let that seed root in good soil, and let it grow quickly, that this nation would be about their Father's business. In Jesus' name. And they all said, hallelujah.
Amen and amen. Amen.
I'd like to ask you a question. Have you ever been standing with your hands in the air for a while?
Yeah.
All right. And your shoulders begin to complain, and your everything about you begins to complain. And I just want to remind you of the time when Moses was doing that. And Aaron and
her.
Joshua, her?
Her.
Came and held his arms up. And here's the deal. I want you to get the deal. Okay, get your hands up. All right, get your both hands up. All right, they get tired. And I want you to see what you can do. You can support. All right. And somebody support the other side. Yeah. All right, now we're helping. Yeah. And now I'm getting tired. Somebody else support. Do you see that others support? Get in here and support. And all right, so the point is that every one of us have an opportunity to support Trump in a spiritual way, just as strongly, so necessarily. Somebody come along and support for a minute. Somebody else support. Somebody else support. Somebody else support. He needs that kind of support. And so I'm challenging you to be a supporter. And you say, well, I only got a minute. Give him a minute. Give him a minute. And if a million people give him a minute, he's gonna be hung up forever, you know. So I challenge you, give him support.
What I see, even with our little team, you know, we'll be praying and I'll be up to maybe 2 in the morning, and then somebody will say, gee, I got up at 2:05. God will take time. He will take time with you if you'll give time to him, and he will link it all together, and there'll be no gaps and no breaches in our armor. We got to link those shields.
So when you wake up at 2 in the morning or any time and you think of Donald Trump or Melania or Melania,
Pence.
Yeah. Michael Pence. It only give him 10 seconds of support. You can do 10 seconds, and somebody else will do 10 seconds. Somebody else will do 10 seconds. That's essential for where this country needs to go.
Wait,
Let me say to you also that you're a prophetic people. You're a people who can hear and release the words of God. And you don't have to say the same thing as, you know, Bill Johnson or, you know, some great prophet or Suzanne or me or Dad or whoever it is that you last heard pray for Trump. You can hear the words of God and release destiny over him. And God is He's not looking for eloquence. He's not looking for monolithic prayer. He is looking for his heart to be expressed through the unique vessels, that's you and me and every single one of us, expressing his power, his call, his destiny. You speak what God says for you to speak. That's key. That's key. Don't back off from that. That's key.
Almighty reigns. Alleluia. Alleluia. For the Lord God Almighty reigns. Alleluia. Holy. Holy. Lamb, you are holy.
Say together, hallelujah. For the Lord, our God, the Almighty, He reigns. Say hallelujah, He reigns. Say hallelujah, He reigns. Amen. Noisy. Say noisy. I don't know if anybody noticed driving in. Did anybody notice that we have a new roof? We have a new roof. You should check it out. It's beautiful, okay? It happened while you were gone, okay? And it's a beautiful, beautiful new roof. We're delighted in it, and we're happy. God has done good things there. I want to thank you also for just over the last month, there's been some really committed release of funds in that direction. I appreciate it. Want to encourage you to continue to be in prayer as to, I guess Dad put in a little thing in here for your reminder as to what you should do with respect to that. So just FYI, we have a $500 monthly payment towards that loan. In your bulletin, it also says sign up for lawn care. So if you have ability and freedom to do so, I think Dad, you could contact Dad or... I see. Sign-up sheet is hanging on the bulletin board, so do that. I want to also bring to your attention Friday, July 13th at 6 o'clock?
It should be 6:30 p.m.
6:30 p.m. At the Ontario Baptist Church, there's a pre-revival prayer service. Most of you know that... Don Davis is pastor of that fellowship, that church, and God's just been doing fantastic things in the hearts and minds of our Baptist brothers in Ontario and sisters, and I want to encourage you to put that onto your calendar. Don is also a deacon at CLF, and official secretary of our corporation, and committed to, for example, some pastors' connections that we do together. But this is a call on him and a call on his congregation, and he's looking to us for support. And I'd like some of his brothers and sisters to show up in prayer and empower in that situation. So I was hoping to get a few of you to put it onto your calendar. We find ourselves in an extraordinary time. We find ourselves in a time where the people of God need to rise up and be who the people of God are called to be. Today I'm going to speak to you some things, but I want to, before I even start my message, I want you to understand that we're in a time where the forces of evil are roiled up. They're all aflutter, trying to accomplish that which cannot be accomplished. Nevertheless, they're doing everything they can. They're trying to put down the kingdom of God, and that will not occur. The kingdom of God is on the rise, and you and I are the mechanism by which that will continue to go forward. I want to encourage you to every day live with your eyes wide open. You must open your eyes to see in the Spirit. It is essential that you do not live like always before or just simply live on. You must not do that. You must make forward progress. One of the amazing things, you know, you can't lift yourself up by your bootstrap. Are you aware of that? You can't do it, okay? Physics doesn't let you do that, all right? It doesn't happen. And the enemy knows that. But you can be lifted up by the power of God, the resurrection power of Jesus Christ that is resident within you. And that is something he cannot predict or address in any fashion. And so if you do what you've always done, the enemy can see that and figure that out. He's smart. But if, on the other hand, you hear God and are shifted and changed and live differently in an unpredictable fashion, it's inconceivable for him to be able to address that issue. Become an issue for the enemy. Just very briefly also, in my recent ministries, I have seen this this thing repeatedly, and so it's a dynamic I want to share with you for your leverage. We've often, and I'm going to speak metaphorically because I see it metaphorically, okay? But we often see like a flower, maybe a dandelion, let's just say. And we know better than to just affect or impact, just pull off the little yellow flower. We know better than that, right? We all know that, right? In fact, the truth is that we know you have to go after the root, right? And that is true. But recently I've been seeing that you have to, if all you do is go after the dandelion root itself, you'll probably miss something, okay? What I've been seeing is roots of roots, in a sense, okay? Something below the obvious root. And if you don't address the thing that's below the obvious root, you're going to not find long-term success even in the dandelion. Does that make sense to you? And I know I'm breaking the model, but that's because we think in these models and we need to go deeper, okay? I'll give you an example. Jill and I were at a house a couple weeks back, and there had been real work at obvious roots. And there was still a battle back and forth. We went there and addressed what is, in my view, was not at all an obvious root. We received, Jill saw things, I saw things, we understood some things. But the root was far deeper and older than the dandelion flower looked like. Okay? Do you see what I'm trying to say? And so what I'm trying to say to you is, go ahead, address the dandelion, pull it out by the root. And then go deeper and say, God, what's next and how do I go? What enabled the dandelion to show up at all? Okay? And the lower root below that is something we need to begin to really perceive and understand. In spiritual warfare, make sure you always see, hear, and then obey. Don't see and decide you can do it. Don't hear and know what you should do. See, hear, and obey the Lord. He'll tell you how to address that issue. It's not something that you should say, I've got this figured out, because you actually don't. Okay? And so what you do is you see, hear, and then you obey what God calls you to do. And in there, the beautiful thing about that is that not only does it address the dandelion, but it addresses the deep roots. As it turns out, there were deep demonic roots that were connected not just with the history that we were aware of, but deeper and older history that needed to be addressed in the land around that house. Okay, so that's just the picture. I want to give that to you. Okay, so you ready for a sermon? Sorry about that. Here we are. I need you to stay on top of this with me today. I've got a lot to talk about. I'm going to ask you to be responsive to me, and I'm going to get going right here. In James chapter 3, we all stumble in many ways. Anyone want to disagree? All right, that's the Bible for you. If anyone does not stumble in what he says, he's a perfect man able to bridle the whole body as well. Now, we put bits in the horse's mouth so that they obey us. We move them around. Look at the ships. They're a little tiny rudder moves them around, shifts them around. So is your tongue. It moves you. What your tongue does is sets direction. And so the tongue is a small part of the body, yet it boasts of great things. See how great a forest is set aflame by a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, the very world of iniquity. Let me just tell you, the tongue is a powerful entity. It's capable of great evil. Are you aware of that? James says that very clearly here. No one can tame the tongue. It's restless evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father. With it we curse men who have been made in the likeness of God. Do not curse men. Did you hear what I just said? Don't curse men. From the same mouth come both blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be. Does a fountain send out of the same opening both fresh and bitter water? Let me speak to you. You speak to your tongue. Say, tongue, do not curse. Mouth, be filled with blessing. It could be. It could also be true. He wasn't asking the question that way. Here's the answer. Whatever is consistent with the word of the Lord, that's a blessing. Whatever is not consistent with the word of the Lord, that's a curse. And, you know, honestly, if I'm acting in a stupid way, please somebody tell me. Did you hear what I just said to you? It's no curse for Keith to see me banging on my toe and say, George, that's stupid. Okay, that's no curse. That's no curse. That's Keith rescuing me. Can you get it so that you're ready to receive it? Number one, the tongue is powerful and capable of great evil. Number two, the tongue is powerful and capable of great good. Gentle words bring life and health. A deceitful tongue crushes the spirit. Don't lie. Want to know why a lie is a horrible thing? Because number one, it violates you. Did you know that? When you put a lie, any form of deceit, into your mouth or your mind, it violates you, it breaks you, it fractures you. There's a piece of you that knows one thing and a piece of you that knows the other. Do you see what I mean? And the better you are at lying, the more fractured you are. Ow. A deceitful tongue crushes the spirit. It doesn't even say whose spirit it is, but I'll tell you this. Everyone involved, okay, because it breaks. A person's words can be life-giving water. Words of true wisdom are as refreshing as a bubbling brook. These are out of Proverbs 8:15 and 18. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who rule it will eat its fruits. Say, death and life are in the power of my tongue. I will rule it and eat its fruits. I could read you many more. A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Gracious words are like honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the body. Therefore, since the tongue is powerful and capable of great good or great evil, we need to be careful of what it is that we say. If anyone thinks he's religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. That sounds pretty harsh. James 1:26. If you don't bridle your tongue, it's worthless. Hang on a second, please. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. Listen, you have a mouth for a purpose, and that's God's grace. God has grace to accomplish many, many, many good things. And he wants to use your mouth. Yes, he wants to use your mouth to bless Trump and through that bless this nation. But boy, he's got a lot of good things to build with your mouth. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you know how you ought to answer each person. Jesus said this, the good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good, and the evil person out of his evil treasure produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Say, for the out of the abundance of my heart, my mouth speaks. It's true. Put away all anger from your mouth. Put away all wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. That's Colossians 3:8. Bless those who persecute you. Do you know that when you have an opportunity for when somebody blesses you, when somebody persecutes you, you have an opportunity like no other? Don't waste your opportunity. You don't get that chance every day, typically. And if you do, then say, thank the Lord for the opportunities of your daily life. Because when they persecute you, you have a prime opportunity to be like your Heavenly Father. And you'll never be any different than that if you'll choose to let your heart be filled with His stuff. Bless those who persecute. Bless. Do not curse them. Here's a prayer. Are you ready? This comes out of Psalm 141. Set a guard. Right? Set a guard. O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. Say, God, do it. Help me. Amen. Now, I want to tell you that what I just told you, that the tongue is powerful of great evil, and the tongue is powerful of great good, and therefore you should watch what you say, is true, not just for people in this room or people that consider themselves Christians. It's true for everyone, okay? The truth is, you don't even have to believe in God in order to recognize that the words that come out of your mouth have power and accomplish good or evil based on what you say. It is well recognized in many arenas of science. It is well recognized in many arenas of psychology and philosophy that the speech of a person is actually powerful. You don't have to be a Christian to invoke and make use of a positive confession. I'm going to make a little distinction here. Okay, I want to talk to you about positive confession, and then we'll go beyond positive confession because I think we need to, but let's understand the point of positive confession. You are a complicated critter. Say, I'm complicated. You have a spirit, and in some ways, that's the least complicated part of you. You live in this body, and this body is horrendously complicated. You have, I think, about 10 trillion cells in your body, each of which does its job to one degree or another, each of which relates to the various other ones in its vicinity. 10, or maybe, is it 100? It's 10. Is it 10 trillion? Do you remember? Tons and tons and tons of cells in your body. You have 10 billion cells in your brain. And amongst those 10 billion cells in your brain, there's 10 trillion synapses. So what I'm saying to you is that on average, every single one of those brain cells connects with roughly 1,000 other brain cells to make this incredibly complicated, interconnected, amazing thing. But that's not the least. I mean, there's huge complexity beyond that. You've got your brain, which is all by itself complicated, but the rest of your body provides for a fluctuating environment of sugar. Be careful of your sugars, okay? They play with you. Other chemicals, your hormones. And then there's your thoughts, your attitudes, your expectations. your tiredness, perhaps. When you play games with the chemicals of your body, you play games with your brain and your awareness. And everyone knows, I'm not talking Christian here now anymore, okay? Everyone knows that if you want to fulfill your life, not Christian, that you're going to have a positive expectation that that might happen, that should happen. Oh, we all talk about, you know, the glass half full or the glass half empty. And if you look at a glass and you think that that same glass is half full versus half empty, it makes a difference. Let me tell you this. It makes a difference actually in your mind, okay? If you have expectation, I'm talking psychologically only, okay? If you have expectation of good, your mind will be healthier and you will be in a better position to be able to do good. Define that however you please, psychologically, okay? But further than that, if you have expectation of good, your body is in a better position to do... Take that over. Yeah, that's a good idea. Not every disease is strongly correlated with psychological optimism versus pessimism. Not every disease is. But numerous diseases are, okay? And people, just psychologically speaking, if they have a good expectation, then they tend to be healthier. Just generally. Live longer, okay? No, it's not the only factor. You know, what you eat might actually, how you live your life in other dimensions impacts as well. But psychologically speaking, having a good and a positive perspective on life, a good expectation, changes. Of course it changes how you think. Of course it changes how you feel. And of course it changes your body. It actually changes the cellular structure. It changes even... It's hard to explain without getting into a lot of details, but how your DNA works. It may or may not change your DNA, but it'll change how the DNA actually works. Okay. That's psychologically speaking. Psychologically speaking, when I have to run a drug test, I have to carefully give half of them the real thing and half of them a placebo, because everyone that gets something thinks they're going to do better if they have a good expectation. So you have to remove the positive effects of any expectation from a drug study. Does that make sense to you guys? That's called the placebo effect. So the reality is that even in science and even in psychology, there's a strong impact of how you think your expectation and how you speak. It impacts cyclically how you think, cyclically how you feel. It impacts your body. And now maybe we could be Christians. Is it okay if we start to be Christians again? Okay. It also impacts your spirit in a very significant way. I want to speak to you about a model for us to think about when we think about what our tongue says and what we believe in our expectation and our expectation in God. Okay, I want to talk about a model. I just told you just a few minutes ago that when you lie, you fracture yourself. And let me be clear. Lying is a sin against God. But part of the reason it's a sin against God is because it's a sin against you. Okay, do you understand that? God kind of likes his kids. Anybody here kind of like your kids? God loves his children so much. So that when you lie and when you fracture his kid, he's not happy about that. It's injurious to you. Does that make sense? And he's not happy about that. But the reason is because it's not good for you, because it breaks you. On the other hand, when you align yourself with the truth, when you bring yourself into unity, there's health to you. There's a health there. So now, the sense of this that I want to talk about is about alignment. Okay? And I want us to practice being in alignment. Now, we can align our minds and our emotions. That's a good thing. You really should work at aligning your mind and your emotions and your body. Okay? Can I tell you this? If you, God, let's just try this. Everybody that can, stand up, okay? And those that can't, stand up on the inside, okay? You ready? Just stand up on the inside. It's fine. But stand up. And I want you to stand up, and I want you to put your shoulders back. I want you to kind of elevate your chin just a little bit. I want you to just, you know, you're feeling good. I see a lot of smiles happening already, okay? Why? Because you're aligning in a vertical fashion. You are putting your body in a way, okay? Now, if you in that position align your emotions with your mind, with your spirit, there's something about all of it working together that works well for all parts of you. We'll do that again in a moment. You can sit down. Psychologically speaking, they know that if you align your mind, your will, and emotions, you're probably more likely to get it done. Your work performance will be better. Probably you'll even do better in your relationships at home, okay? Psychologically speaking, if you get all those things working together, even with your body, you know, your body, you know, impacts. Your body is the thing that accomplishes. And let me just tell you, see the thing? It's part of your body, okay? And when you stick that thing, make that thing go in the same alignment with your mind and your will and your emotions, psychologically speaking, it's a good thing. You're going to get wherever you're trying to go a whole lot more easily than if you didn't. Does that make sense? Say blah, 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 blah. Good, good, good job. I'm just keeping you awake, okay? That's all I'm doing there, okay? That was just... Blah, blah, blah. Now, there is a limit on the value of optimism. I want to be very clear about this. Psychological optimism. There's a limit there. If I have a half full glass, it is better for me to realize that it's half full than half empty. Okay? But there comes a place where it's inappropriate for me to say, well, actually, my glass is 60% full. And the reason that you don't want to say my glass is 60% full is because you're going to pour out a fifth of it onto that one and a fifth there. Oops, you're not going to have enough in the end because you weren't being realistic. Okay, you lied to yourself. I'm not looking for liars here. Okay? I'm not looking for lying. I am looking for the truth. And I'm looking for the truth in a righteously optimistic way. This last week, and I heard you actually change your definition this morning already. I tell you, it's terrible. But Keith gave a definition of hope. And as I recall it, it was the joyful expectation of the goodness of God. Was that correct or close?
Joyful expectation of good.
Joyful expectation of good. Joyful expectation. And you said this morning, do you remember what you said this morning? You said, it's a joyful certainty of good. Okay, so, and I want to ride that dichotomy, that split in a minute, okay? But right now, I want to talk to you about hope, the joyful expectation of good, okay? It's appropriate in the 50% full zone to have the joyful expectation of good. I have a question for you. What if down in the very bottom of your cup, there are two mites, i.e. two pieces of money, two little tiny pennies, the widow's mites is what I'm referring to. Is there a place with the cup almost fully empty to have the joyful expectation of good? There is, okay? Now, there's no reason for the widow to say, well, I'm about to give $1 billion, because she's only got two mites, okay? Most of the time, okay? Unless she has something else, and we'll get to that in a minute, okay? There's legitimacy to being hopeful and realistic at the same time. But let's remember that you're complicated. You're very complicated. There are many, many, many parts of you. And some of the parts of you want to say that realism is that the cup is half full. And some of them want to say realism says that the cup is half empty. There needs to be judgment exercised. And the judgment comes not from your mind, your will, your emotions, or your body. It comes from your spirit. This morning I got a text from my dear son Nathan, who wishes that Nathan could be here to preach. Anybody? I'm there. I love it when Nate preaches. But let Nate preach through this, okay? You ready to hear what Nate said? Nate said this, often we have more time to tell Jesus about the lack of fish in our net than we have time to listen to his words. So he's reflecting on the time when Jesus told the disciples, go get some fish. And they said, well, we've been fishing all night. And he says, go fish on the other side. And they pull in the huge net full. Remember that whole story? Often we have more time to tell Jesus about the lack of fish in our net than we have time to listen to his words. He knows what's going on. Hearing and obeying can change everything in any situation. Sometimes we don't hear something new because he's waiting to see if we will obey what we heard last time. The disciples fished all night, and I'm sure they tried everything they knew to try. Yet nothing changed until they encountered Jesus, heard what he said, and then did it. Encountered Jesus, that's a spiritual fact. Heard what he said, that's a soulish fact. And did it, that's a body. Let me just say something to you. Alignment between your body, soul, and spirit is essential for you in this time, every single day. It's essential. A positive confession is a powerful thing. Expectation, psychologically speaking, is a good thing. But you're a complicated person. The widow, with her two mites, did something irrational but smart. And she took two mites and put it into God's hand. And he saw it. Now, I don't know his response. I don't think that his response is recorded in the scriptures. I don't know the specifics of his response. But I can tell you his response. She was abundantly blessed. Jesus said she gave more than all the rest. So I'm pretty sure God noticed. I'm pretty sure God's going to be good about that. God did it. He will accomplish it. Now let me tell you this. The disciples with the net did something irrational, but smart. And they threw their net on the other side of the boat. You know, I'm guessing that boat was probably maybe 10 feet wide or something. So the water over on that side had no fish in it. 10 feet further over here, there were lots and lots and lots and lots of fish somehow. Irrational, but smart, obedient, spirit through the soul into the body accomplished an amazing alignment of heaven and earth. And God rewarded them in a big way. Is that right? Okay. The tongue used to release what God is saying at that moment powerful beyond your understanding. I don't care how smart you are, it's powerful beyond your understanding. And it's capable of immense temporal and eternal good. The reality is this, that when God speaks and you come into agreement and release through your tongue and possibly through other members of your body, the release of that alignment of all realms works something significant. I want to talk to you very briefly about the glass again. So let's take it and let's just agree that we're going to call it half full. But we, in some real sense, in a very real sense, know that it can't just be half full. Now, we're going to be honest about it. We're going to say, yep, it's, 3 inches up there and there's 3 inches above it. Yeah, it's exactly half full. Yep, half full. We're going to be honest about it, okay? But we're going to also be honest about another thing. In the spirit realm, God has promised me something. God has promised me, for example, I tithe. I do, okay? And so he's promised that the windows of heaven will be opened, and out of that will be poured a blessing so large that I cannot contain it, okay? So there is a sense in which I rightly say my cup is half full. And I shouldn't say it's half empty. I really should say it's half full. Because there's another sense in which my cup is so full it's overflowing. Okay, now, it's not yet seen. And it's legit to see what I see, but it's also legit to see what else I see. And if you do not understand, if you do not know which direction he's going, then you need to find out where he's going. Because, you know what? If he's about to empty out that glass, maybe your glass is half empty. Because he's emptying it out. Hallelujah. If, on the other hand, he's filling that glass, then your glass is half full. Now, in both cases, that was an optimistic statement because I know the goodness of God is the direction that I'm finding myself heading in. Does that make sense? I'm going to read you some scriptures. Deuteronomy 8, chapter 3. God humbled you and let you hunger. Okay, so God took some people and he let them feel the pangs of one of the most basic needs and difficulties of life. He let them hunger, okay? And fed you with manna. Now, what is manna? Funny question. Manna is, what is it? That's what manna is, okay? It's a miraculous provision. It's a, That's what it is. And the reason he gave them manna, it says, so he humbled you, and he let you hunger, and he fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you to know that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. You see, what he is doing is he's saying, no, you don't get to grow wheat. And no, you don't have control over the satisfaction of your basic need. No, you don't. You get to have, what is it? You get to have, huh? It gets you. It shows up and it happens? Oh, yeah. Because God gives it to you. In other words, he was training them to recognize that they were utterly dependent on God. And the purpose of him training them to be utterly dependent on God is so that they would know that they need every proceeding word. That they didn't have what it took. Every single day they don't have what it takes. Do you understand? That's what it's saying about manna here. Say, I don't have what it takes without God and his preceding word. That's where we need to be. We need to be utterly dependent on every word that is proceeding out of the mouth of God. You see, manna was about training that you need God every single moment of every single day. That's what manna. That's the story of manna. Don't get something else from it, because you'll miss it. According to the scriptures, that's why God did manna. Jesus quoted that in the New Testament. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every proceeding word that comes from the mouth of God. It's this word that is coming forth to you at the moment. That's how you live. Jesus, John chapter 8, verse 47, whoever is of God hears the words of God. Say, I hear the words of God. Say, I am of God, and I hear God's words. Romans 10, chapter 10, verse 8 says, the word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, the natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. I got to tell you something. You need more discernment than you've ever had before. Can you agree with that? Say, God, give me more discernment. Let me hear your word. Let me know your word. I need more. Amen. Here's the truth, guys. Again, in recent ministry, again and again and again, it's all about you hear and you respond. What God says, it's true. And you just kind of work your way there. Because that's what it is. We're going to find out that what God said, that was the truth. For the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, joints and marrow, discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. I was working with a dear friend, and she was experiencing what we all knew to be a demonic manifestation. And it was just an oppression. The enemy was coming against her. And we'd already noted the flower on the dandelion, and we'd already pulled the root, and she was still experiencing the same thing. And so then we say, okay, God, what's up next? And what we discovered, well, let me just say it this way. The Lord gave me a clarity. And he said, this is the age, and this is the sense of what happened in that age. She actually couldn't remember that was true. But she could remember a few years later a dream that was commensurate with that. Okay, so she had a dream she was struggling with the issue before. And then she remembered an event that happened globally in her family that gave us the root to pull, and the game was up. Okay? So now, God speaks his word. His word is sharper than any two-edged sword. Discerning, well, let me just read it to you. piercing to the division of soul and spirit, joints and marrow, discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. As it turns out, there was demonic connection from a family interaction way back when she was 5 years old that she had no understanding of. The Word of God, we need to hear and release it. It's the Spirit who gives life. The flesh is no help at all. The words that I have spoken to you, says Jesus in John 6, chapter 6, verse 63, the words I have spoken to you are spirit and life. I want you to understand some things. I've kind of been hurrying to get to where I am right now, and so I'm going to slow down just a little bit. It is essential for you to begin to align yourself with that which is eternal truth about you. I'm not saying that you should say, I've got $1 billion in my wallet. Okay? But my wallet, let me just say to you, isn't even quite half full. But it's getting fuller. Okay? Do you understand what I'm trying? Well, I don't know why my wallet's getting fuller. Because I have some things. The Lord has talked to me about my finances. And I know. This isn't the limit right here. Okay? This wallet right here. This is just where I happen to be at the moment. And it's, you know, any moment now it could just go and just all of it fall out. Okay? Why? Because there's something happening for me. That's the word of the Lord over my life. You don't have to believe that. You don't have to like it. You don't have to agree with it. I don't even really care. But I'm aligning my spirit, his spirit, to my mind, my will, and my emotions, and my body. And I'm in agreement with him. And we need to do that. The beginning of this is I want us to recognize that God is our daddy. You think we could handle that? Is that a tough one? So let's say, that's my daddy. Can we say that? And God said, let there be light, and there was light. I need a little bit better. That's my daddy. And God created the heavens and the earth. With a word, he spoke and he healed my disease. So that's my daddy is your response. That's my daddy. That's my daddy. All things. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and he was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Say it. That's my daddy. This is what God says about his word. And when we align with his words, we align with these. So shall my word be that goes out of my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and shall succeed in the thing which I sent it. Heaven and earth will pass away, says Jesus, but my words will not pass away. That's right. Okay, now this is Jeremiah, and I want us to repeat this back to the Lord. Jeremiah 15, 16. Your words were found, and I ate them. And your words became to me a joy and the delight of my heart. For I am called by your name, O Lord, God of hosts. Now because God has made himself your father, you are like him. Say this, I will speak the words of God, and they will create his perfect creation. We'll repeat that again. Say, I will speak the words of God, and they will create his perfect creation. Say, I will speak the words of God, and they will not return void. I will speak the words of God, and they will accomplish that which He has purposed. Now, I'd like you to stand up. And I would like you to intentionally align yourself. I'd like you to align your body. So I kind of like you just to stand up as straight as you can. I'd like you to align your soul. I'd like you to, in your emotions, say, "This is true." In your mind, say, "You know what? This is true." In your will, say, "I believe this is true." And your spirit will agree. Point to yourself. Say, "I am a child of God." Say, "I am a child of God." This is your identity. It's God's choice to identify you as His child. He chose to identify Himself as your Father. What an outrageous thing! He identifies Himself as your Father. Wow! Say, "I am a child of God. It's my choice to identify myself with God in agreement with Him, in agreement with His purposes, in agreement with my highest calling and highest possible level of reality. I am a child of God." Now, I want you to just even further, put your shoulders actually back, okay? Back. Say,
I am
a child of God. Let me just say something. I am as a name. Whose name is I am? Uh-huh. And who else's? Uh-huh. And who else's? All right. Say,
"I am
a child of God." Why did He say "I am" is His name? Because He is the same way there, now, and way there. "I am" is this, you know, foreverness, His eternal nature. I have a question. Do you inherit His eternal nature? Is "I am" an appropriate moniker for His destiny over you and His reality in you and His plans forever? Say,
I am
a child of God. Before the universe was, Father conceived of you. As a significant facet of His own life and goodness and creativity, He conceived of you. And then in time, He created you as He chose and purposed to do. In the days of your life, He continues to see you as the same facet of His goodness. No wonder you have joyful expectation of good. Say,
I have
joyful expectation of good. I want you to breathe in deeply and say,
I have
joyful expectation of good because of my Father. In the eternal future, God will continue to rejoice in His union with you as you together continue to create and release His goodness. Now, I want you to say,
I am.
And now I want you to say,
A.
Child of God. Child of God. I am.
A.
Child of God. Child of God. Look around. Look around. It's important that you recognize that you're a child of God. You're not the only one, actually. There's a few others. Look around. Say,
I am
a child of God. Let me say to you that what comes out of your mouth impacts your precious sister and your precious brother, the Franks. Watch out what comes out of your mouth, because you're just a child of God, and they are also children of God. Watch out what comes out of your mouth, because you know what? God likes these people. Don't say things that are down on you, because you can't say things that are down on you without saying things that are down on them. Say,
I am
a child of God. And now I want you to say,
I am
a child of God.
Child of God.
What What does it mean to be a child of God, guys? What does it mean? Are you his literal offspring or not? Are you more a child of your biological parents or are you more a child of the Father? Are you like his generation? What is generated from him? Are you a chip off the old block? I'm asking you a question. Are you a chip off the old block? Are you a piece of who God is? Yes, you are. Are you a godling? Like, you know, a gosling or a duckling? Okay? Are you a godling? Okay? Can I just say something to you? Sometimes we have to use dumb words to get the stupid thoughts out of our mind. Oh, I'm a child of God. Say, I'm a godling. What a crazy notion. Understand that that's what we mean when we say, I'm a child of God. Say, I am a child of God. Amen. You may be seated. When you lie to someone else, you break relationship with them because you break yourself and there is no capacity for you to unify with them. Does that make sense? When you do not decree the truth about who you are when you're with someone else, you are breaking down the relationships that God has intended for you to interact with. When you don't believe who you're called to be, you get what you believe. Say, ow. Since God is for me, the only one who can effectively be against me is me. Want to know why? Because God's for me, but he doesn't force himself or force his good ideas or force his generous benevolence on us. The only one that can prevent God's goodness to me is me. It's important to recognize that when you decide what you say about how full your glass is, in which direction it's going in, and what God has said about you and who you are. Since God is for me, I choose to be for me as well. Since God is for me, I choose to be for me as well. Is it wrong for Tom to be for Tom? In fact, the truth is he can't be for God without being for Tom. So don't say, oh, you know, I'm so humble that I hate myself. Okay, no, I'm sorry. That's just not true. That is not true. Jesus didn't hate himself. Anybody notice that? And Jesus never said, oh, I'm not the king of all of everything. He always said, I'm the king of all of everything, or whatever he had to say. And I'm a son of God, the living, I'm a godling. That's what he said. Right? That's what he said. And at the same time, he was the most humble man ever. Right? How? Service. Putting himself down. Lifting someone else up. Sacrificing himself for us. Not just on the tree. Yes, on the tree, but not just there. Again and again throughout the whole of his life. Putting himself down for someone else to be pushed up. But he didn't put himself down in the sense, I'm just a godling. No, he didn't. He said, I'm the Son of God and I have come here to seek and save that which is lost. And I'm gonna serve you. I will lay my life down for you. So now, it's not humble to say that you're useless or you have no future. It's just a lie against the goodness of God.
That's all. Since God is for me, I choose to be for me like He is for me. Now listen to this. And the way I choose to be for me is choosing to believe that I am and He is the solution that God has chosen for the difficulties I see in my life. Do you know that He put you in a place and He gave you difficulties so that you could be the solution, because He's the solution. And He and you are one. You're a godling. In the spot that He has put you, you're a godling. You're the one that He created specifically for the spot you're in so that you could be His solution in that place. How's that going to work out? I really don't know. Ask Him, because He knows. Okay? If you want, I can prophesy over you. And I'll give you, a few trinkets of the reality. But you need to hear from the Lord, because He's the one that's going to speak it to you with clarity. Yeah, He speaks it to every facet of who you. He becomes you. That's right. It becomes you. Yes, yes. That's the Jeremiah word where He says, I found this word and I ate it. And it became to me a joy and a, whatever it was that it said. No, He didn't. He always told the truth about Himself. And there was no false humility. And don't play humble games. Instead, say who you are. Have the joyful expectation of good. Because it would be inappropriate for you not to. Do you understand that? All it does is it lies against the nature of your Father. Does that make sense to you? Say, I have the joyful expectation of good. Because I am a child of God. Say, I am a child of God. Do you think that your words should be gracious words? Do you think that gracious words empowered by God have the possibility of impacting people's lives? Who's the first person that you should shoot at? You. Get the word of the Lord over your life. Get the word of the Lord over your life. Speak. I don't care if you just have to say, I am a child of God. That's okay. That's the word of God over your life. Okay? That is. I'm going to guarantee it. God gave it to me to speak to you. So it's your word of God over your life. But get some more, because He's got more for you. And I want to say to you, begin to stand up. Begin to put your shoulders back. Begin to align your mind, your will, your emotions, and your body with the Spirit of God. There's no reason for a simple, psychologically motivated person not to align themselves with whatever their best is, right? How much less is there the slightest reason for you not to align the whole of who you are with the goodness that God has to do through you? Is that true? Say, I have the joyful expectation of good, because I am a child of God. Amen. Grace to you guys. Thanks for listening. And speak it to yourself. Speak it and keep on speaking it, because it's true. Because it's true.
I'm just going to say this. When you do that, lay hands on yourself.
There you go. It's a good physical
really
thing.
Really lay hands on yourself. When you're more and more sensitive to the Spirit, you can feel what you're speaking, different than if you don't do it. When I just did that, and I'm aware of that.
Yeah.
And the anointing of God comes on you, whether you feel it or don't. Lay hands on yourself. We lay hands on ourselves for many reasons.
Let me just say this to you as well. Stand up when you do it, even. And even sort of like envision, see yourself, okay, as body, soul, mind, will, and emotions, and spirit aligned with Him. See yourself aligned with Him. Because you know what? You should align with Him. You should align with Him. Why not? All of you, the whole of you, the unity of you.
What I saw right after you said that was how we treat ourselves. Well, actually, what I saw was someone in frustration banging their head.
Yeah.
That's a phrase. You're banging your head against a wall. Well, it's not just a phrase. People do it. Cutters, cutting, actual physical harm. Even, I mean, that's gross level of harm. But just dial it down to a two-year-old. Temper. You know, what's happening? You are mistreating the child of God that you are. And right down to how are we... I love that you threw in, be careful of your sugars. You know, it's like we are spirit, soul, and body. And what we do in all three realms is significant. And even I love the encouragement of lay your hand on yourself. Care for yourself the way God is caring for you. And it's just such a powerful encouragement. Absolutely. But if we're not doing it here.
Why not? Yeah. Yeah.
Right. And if we can't give away what we don't have.
That's right.
So let's take good care of this and let's pass it on.
Amen. Amen.
I just wanted to say, I got a word from the Lord, like when you said that this is God's word, this is God's sword, and like the cross, you know, it's like like you said, take up your cross daily and follow me. And I think I just like noticed His outstretched arms, and you know how this sword is, it pierces us. It's mm-hmm. It's all the way through. It really does, mm-hmm. And that's what I received.
Good. I want to say one quick thing. I was going to let you go, but now I'm going to just say one more thing, and I probably will hit on this again in future times because it's just something that's stirring in me, and you really rang my bell again with it, and that is you are a very complicated thing. I said it, I hit on it very gently today with the, you know, billions of cells, but it's not just that you're billions of cells. You know, actually, you're, I think, 10 trillion cells. You have 10 billion brain cells and 10 trillion synapses. It's more complicated than that. Okay, you have a very complicated biology. You do. But you also have a very complicated psychology. Okay, that's true. It's true. You have memories and you have thoughts and you have emotions and stuff that happens to your body or stuff that happens to your mind. Stuff that happens in various ways impacts all of that. It's very complicated. Very complicated. You know, in biology, they have the ability to study, you know, the impact of various chemicals or hormones or this, that, and the other thing. And they can figure some of those things out. But even that's really complicated because there's all these, you know, many impacts. You know, you've got one drug and it has super lot of different impacts that you don't even remember or know and figure out until much, much later. All very, and that's the simplest of the bunch, okay? Once you get to psychology, you know, you can kind of figure out some things statistically, but it's really hard to be, I mean, they're succeeding at being somewhat scientific about psychology because they do it in aggregate and statistically, and there's legitimacy to the science of psychology. But it's hard, and it's very complicated, extremely complicated. And the reality is that there isn't a science in the spirit realm. Or at least there's not a science according to the rules of science that we understand. Okay, there is a separate rule set for the realities of the transcendent realms that are not as amenable to our control and our partly because we have become just generally relatively dull in our perception. I'm talking about the 9 billion of us on the planet, relatively dull in our perception of the variations in the scientific or the spiritual arena. So then it's very difficult to accurately understand, say nothing of, understand the actual elements of it, and therefore the dynamics of it are even more complicated, and so it's very difficult to scientific. And you have a whole lot that goes on that's hard to understand. But you're complicated. But take care of all the parts of your complicated you. You know that God designed you with a very complicated body? You know that? No, it turns out that he did give you some handles on that, you know? In fact, he made your biology almost identical to biology of many animals on the planet. You know that? It's pretty convenient when it comes time to figure out, you know, what that medicine's going to do to you. They do it in the animal models. Well, your biology, the actual physical, you know, interactions of these chemicals, it's very, very similar. Okay? And that was good of God. But it's very complicated. Super complicated. And your psychology, there's not even really good models for that out there. Okay? There's not good models for in the animal realm or whatever. It's very tricky, very tricky. And the spirit realm, complicated yet even more.
Just to go along with this, this man who was given a terminal diagnosis, and, well, he decided, okay, I'm going to read every joke I can read. I'm going to laugh. And he decided, and he looked up all these jokes, and he laughed, and he laughed, and he laughed, and he didn't know the Lord, and he got healed.
Yeah.
So along with what you're saying about the psychological and how we look at things.
Yeah.
The girls come over and I assign them. This week, I want you laughing all week long, and I want to hear all about it when you come in next week.
Yeah.
And we do. We think about laughing because God is sitting in the heavens laughing at the enemy, right? And why would that not be good for us psychologically to start to turn our thinking around? It affects all of our...
Everything... Everything, I mean, the truth of the matter is, the truth of the matter is that some doctor could figure out a shot that he could give to you, okay, that would make you go like this. And guess what? Your discernment would be off. Okay? Your body impacts your emotions, and your emotions impact your mind, and your mind impacts your spirit. And God's bigger and better than all of the above.
Your brain to your body, and the Lord told us to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Be thankful.
Be thankful. And yeah, there's another really powerful one, laughter and gratitude. But let me just say, there is one other thing. I'm just going to mix this in right now. One day I'm going to maybe talk about this in an organized fashion, but I believe that there's 10 trillion cells in your body. Do you have any idea how many microbes are in your body? Any idea? 100 trillion. There are more microbes by count in your body than human cells in your body. Okay, so, whoa. So in your gut, you've got all these bacteria and all of these various things. Very important. You have to have those. Those work with your body to make your body work right. Without them, you've got C. diff. Or whatever else you got all sorts of problems if you don't have. And there's 10 times as many of them as your cells. That's kind of wacky. So not only are you complicated, but you're complicatedly associated, biologically speaking. What about psychologically speaking? Ooh. You have relationships. And don't you tell me that your relationships don't matter to your psychology. They sure do. And it's very complicated with respect to... So there's one of you, and probably at least 10, on average, people that have significant impact on your psychology. Okay, so like one cell to those 10 microbes, one of you to the 10 others. Very important relational dynamics. You're complicated. Treat yourself well in the process. Treat those around you well. Because you know what? If you kill off all your microbes, you're sick. If you don't be connected rightly to the people in your vicinity, you're sick. Okay? And, of course, let's go back to the microbes. You don't have E. coli in your gut right now? You got E. coli in there. It's good. You need it. Did you know that E. coli, what's the other one? What's the one that's always in chicken?
Salmonella.
Okay, E. coli, the E. coli in your gut, if it's at the right level, keeps the salmonella that's in your gut under, because it has the capability of killing or maintaining a limit on the salmonella. Okay? If you didn't have E. coli, maintaining the salmonella population at an appropriate level, you'd be sick. Okay, I'm just telling you it's complicated. Oh, I could give you lots of complications, but it's complicated, okay? When somebody gets E. coli poisoning, it's just because there's too much of it. When somebody gets, you know, salmonella poisoning, it's because there's too much of it, okay? But there's some in there. In the right balance, it's a good thing. Now, that's also true in your social realm, your psychological realm. There's different people that provide different things. Some of them, you know, you get too much of that and you're going to be sick. Okay? Some of them you get too little of that and you're going to get sick. That's the reality. That's how it works. Do you think that that's not true in the spirit realm? It's true in the spirit realm too. Let me just tell you. God, He's your dad. He's an important interconnection in the spirit realm. But let me say, there's a bunch of other spirits around. And they're not all spirits that you even know what are. You think you know something about the spirit realm? That's great. I'm happy for you. Let me just tell you something. There's angels. Then there's funny things with six wings and you know, two which always cover their face or whatever. You know, da-da-da-da-da. And some other ones, too. And you don't even know. You know what? There's so much more that you don't know about that realm then you do know. Let me just tell you that. Okay, can I tell you another little quick thing? Oh, I'm sorry for going on and on. I'm going to be done. But let me tell you this. Every time in science, with the simple physical sciences, okay, every time that we discover more and we understand more, intrinsic in that same discovery, we find out that there was a whole lot more to have discovered than we knew. And so we go up a step because we know more, and we realize, oh my goodness, there was much, much, much more to have understood. And so now we know, having gone up a step, we know that we know less than we knew when we were down here. Okay, fractionally speaking, we knew more when we were ignorant. Okay? And now we come up here and we understand a little bit more, and then we realize, oh, wow, there's so much more to understand. We actually decreased our fractional understanding of how much we knew of. And every time we take another step in science, we discover not that we have gotten closer to knowing everything, but that we've gotten further away from knowing everything, or at least in our own understanding of it. Do you see what I'm trying to say? And that's not just true in the nice, you know, physics, for example. It's also true in your psychology, certainly in your biology, in your psychology, and in the spirit realm. So there's a good place for humility. Because the truth is, you don't know that much, relatively speaking. But let me tell you this. There's no limit to what God will teach you. There's no limit to what God will reveal to you. Keep pursuing Him. Go after it. But you're a complicated person. You're very complicated. Hugely complicated. Take care of yourself. Speak God's words into yourself. Encourage yourself. You need to encourage yourself. You need encouragement. Why not? Dumb people with just their stupid psychologists do it. How much more you who have actual vision for what is real and true and beyond where you live. Amen? Bless you all. Thanks for listening.